Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Good morning and welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and today is Sunday, May 22nd. It is the sixth Sunday in Easter, and today I am going backwards in time. I am going back and catching that text that I accidentally didn't do last week. If you tuned in last week, you know that I got my weeks somehow mixed up, so I did this week's reading of from Acts last week, so I'm doing last week's reading from Acts this week, just catching up. I'm sorry if this is completely confusing. I understand, because we are going also now backwards in Acts. Instead of chapter 7, moving from 2 to 7 to 17, we've moved from 2 to 17, now back to 7. So it's a little bit like a Doctor Who episode, where we're traveling backwards and forwards in time. And thank you for bearing with me and my, you know, the things that I sometimes occasionally, more than occasionally, screw up on. At any rate, welcome to the new week. I hope you're having a wonderful Sunday. Where have you seen resurrection the past few days? I have seen resurrection in a few places, and one of them I'm going to do a quick plug for my last episode because it was so much fun. I started a new segment that aired on Friday last week, and that was called Friends on Faith on Friday, and I interviewed a friend of mine from seminary, Katie Osweiler, and I just had so much fun, and I hope that you will have fun listening to that episode, listening to that interview, hearing a different voice besides mine and a different perspective. And she is a lot of fun and very warm and funny and intelligent, and I thought she was great to listen to, so I hope that you enjoyed it as well. If you haven't checked out that episode, please do so. The other place that I see resurrection today is another niece birthday. I'm so happy. I have two nieces who are not nieces. I don't know if you have those kind of little people in your lives, but I have two nieces who are the same ages as my sister's two kids, and they grew up in our house. My mom did daycare for them, and so you cannot tell them that I am not their auntie, and I would never tell them that I'm not their auntie, and you can't tell me that they're not my nieces. So today is the older of the two's 10th birthday. My goodness, we've hit double digits already. She is the funniest thing. She has been able to crack me up almost since birth. She just has this, as a baby, she just had this sense of adventure and fun, and she just was so happy all the time. And then as she grew older, her sense of humor kicked in, and she's had the driest sense of humor even as a child, and she throws out these one-liners, these kind of zingers that just floor me. I never know what's going to come out of that kid's mouth, but she is amazing. She square dances. She is the only young person, she was under 10, now she's 10 today, but in this group of square dancers in our hometown, and she goes with her grandparents, and she loves it. In fact, there's a PBS show in Montana called Backroads of Montana, and they just did an episode that features her, so I am so proud. And she is my bright spot today. I want to wish her a happy 10th birthday. I love her to the moon and back, like all of my other nieces. So without further ado, let's get to last week's text from the book of Acts. That text comes from the book of Acts, chapter 7, verses 55 through 60, and those verses are as follows. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he died. So again, this is from the book of Acts, chapter 7, verses 55 through 60, and probably makes a little bit more sense in light of last week's text. Last week in the psalm, if you remember, the psalm was what Jesus said. Part of the psalm was the words that Jesus spoke from the cross, and the commentary that we were talking about also referenced Stephen's words, which are very similar to what Jesus said on the cross. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And also, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And that was from last week's psalm. So here we have this actual story of Stephen, and it's five verses. They're heavy verses. They're not full of a lot of what feels like good news. But we get this story of Stephen. And for me, I'm not sure what jumped out at you from these verses. But for me, I see the beginnings of the church now taking a darker turn. So we have been talking about Pentecost and Peter's sermon on Pentecost and how that inspired so many people to be baptized. 3,000 people were baptized after that sermon. Those people then went home to their families. They went home to their communities. The word of God, the gospel of Jesus, began to spread. And those were really positive. Those were exciting verses because this new church was growing. We were seeing that growth. We were seeing the word of God spread throughout the land. And now we start to see more of the negative side effects of that growing church, how many of Jesus' followers met similar fates to his own, how many became martyrs for their faith. Jesus tried to tell them how it wouldn't be easy, but now here we see in the book of Acts exactly how it's not going to be easy because many of them, unfortunately, were killed for their faith. But we also see, in this case, Stephen maintaining his faith to the end, just like Jesus, asking for the sins of his persecutors, his murderers, to be forgiven. He gives his soul to God, he gives his spirit to God, and he remains faithful to the end. So this is actually a chapter 6 and 7 act as a bit of a pivot point in the book of Acts. So before these chapters, the church is centered in Jerusalem, right? And that's where we had Peter giving his Pentecost sermon. And then after these verses, after 6 and 7, the church moves out of Judea, led by the Hellenistic Jews, who were chosen as deacons in Acts chapter 6. So the story of Stephen's martyrdom follows directly after he charges the council in Jerusalem with opposing the Holy Spirit, with murdering the prophets, with breaking Torah. His audience is already seething before his vision. So in chapter 7, verse 54, Stephen has a vision. And that is why these verses that we read today said, but filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into the heaven and saw the glory of God, Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout, all rushed together against them. So, again, that's one of those things where we jump into the middle of a story, you know, but filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed at heaven. You know, if you just jump into a story, you're thinking, well, who gazed at heaven? Now we know that it is Stephen. Stephen is one of Jesus' followers. He is one of Jesus' disciples, and he is unfortunately martyred. He is killed for his words, for his vision of Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And it's a dreary text. It feels very, very difficult to me today to think about in light of so many other dreary things that happen in the world. So the commentary that I'm looking at for this week comes from Margaret Amer, who's the associate professor of New Testament at Austin Seminary in Austin, Texas. And she says that Luke tells the story of Stephen's death in five sentences, and those are the five sentences that we just read. Verses 55 through 56, the first sentence relates Stephen's vision twice. Verses 57 through 58a describe the people's enraged reaction. Verses 58 B through 59 introduce Saul of Tarsus for the first time, even as Stephen continues to be stoned. In verse 60a, Stephen advocates on behalf of those who are killing him to Jesus. And finally, in verse 60b, Stephen dies, or as Luke puts it colloquially, falls asleep. So that is the other interesting thing about these verses, is that they do introduce us to Saul very briefly. We see Saul, who, as we know, becomes a persecutor of the early church. So he's at the stoning of Stephen, and then he goes out and he begins persecuting other Christians, persecuting them for their faith, before he himself has his encounter with the risen Christ. And then he does a complete 180 and he becomes a follower of Christ. And he's just as he changes his name from Saul to Paul, and he begins to preach and minister to the Gentiles, beginning new churches in Gentile communities, etc. So we do have to take our first break of the podcast. When we come back, we will continue talking about these verses from the book of Acts. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. Jordan and Keith is Entertainment Tonight meets Access Hollywood.
I'm Jordan. The guy laughing, that's Keith.
Yeah, I'm Keith.
An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are talking about last week's text from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 7, verses 55 through 60. And I'd like to give you a little bit more context for these verses, these five verses that we read. And to do that, I am looking at a commentary from Matt Skinner, who is professor of New Testament at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. And he says that the main problem is that the action described in these six verses, the gruesome murder of Stephen at the hands of an angry mob, is entirely dislocated from the situation that triggers it. And that makes sense, right? Because it doesn't even give us Stephen's name at first. It just says, he gazed into heaven and he saw this vision. So it's foolish to expect that everyone will know what we're talking about if we just casually refer to Stephen's sermon or the story of the church's first martyr, because not everyone is going to be familiar with the story of Stephen, right? And maybe you are, maybe you aren't. That's why we're giving some of this context. So for this passage to mean anything, we need to flesh out the wider story, explaining who Stephen is and who his assailants are, and what he does to offend them so, because he clearly has offended them. I mean, to the point of them taking him out and murdering him, he has offended them. So we have to do this, Stephen's speech, if you want to look it up, excuse me, I kind of stumbled there. If you want to look up Stephen's speech and learn more about why he has angered so many people, you can look at the beginning of this chapter, Acts chapter 7, verses 2 through 53. I won't be reading that because it's 51 verses, and that's a bit extensive, you know, for a podcast. So if you want to look at those verses, you can. It will give you some more insight on what Stephen is talking about, what Stephen says that makes them so angry. It's a bit meandering, but it'll give you a better idea. So the basic point, if you want kind of an overarching view of this, is that Stephen's story constructs, this is according to Matt Skinner, Stephen's story constructs a grim memorial to remind us that the stakes are high. Jesus may be Lord, but he will still be resisted. His resurrection does not stop the human race, including religious people, from spilling blood and resisting the prophetic remonstrations of God's spokespeople. No one pages, he says, through the New Testament without repeatedly reading about violent resistance. The story of Stephen gives us much to consider, lest we forget the atrocities that are part of Christian legacy, those inflicted upon people of faith as well as those inflicted by them. So, another challenge in this text, again, goes back to the stripped from context verses, is the odd contrast here between Stephen's serenity and the unspeakable violence. The temptation, then, we see, is to just kind of you know, it's hard to read this and see Stephen so calm. It's easy, I think, to take ourselves out of the situation because it's just a very, very stark reading on these texts, right? They take him out and stone him, which is a really gruesome and awful way to die. And I'm not going to go into that either, but it's just, I think my brain shies away from imagining that because I really don't want to imagine it in detail. So it's easy to just kind of pass over that part and not think about it too much and just see Stephen's serenity in the midst of this. But he's presented as Acts presents him as what Matt Skinner calls a prototypical martyr, not a rogue proclaimer of the gospel, but an agent of God guided by the Holy Spirit. His vision of the resurrected and exalted Christ confirms a key point of his sermon, as well as Paul's sermon to the Athenians, which we read last week, but is actually this week, that God is not confined to a particular place. And if you remember the podcast from last week, we did talk about that from Paul's speech to the Athenians. It also makes certain that Stephen himself will be vindicated because Jesus is vindicated. And then finally, in an exemplary way, Stephen shows forth Christ through the grace he exhibits, both praying for his killers as Jesus did, and likewise dying faithfully. So how do we take Stephen and make him real? Because he doesn't seem real here. You know, he's a man who has obviously preached something powerful that has touched a chord that has angered a lot of people, but he doesn't, the story to me, maybe it seems more real to you, but the story doesn't really seem all that real to me, just because it is so stark and it's so hard to really, maybe it's not hard. Maybe I just shy away from, as I said, shy away from the gruesomeness of these details. I want to go back to Matt Skinner's commentary where he's talking about Stephen. And, you know, this was a guy who was a servant, a steward. He kind of like our modern day waiter originally, but now he is suddenly finding himself in this situation where he is proclaiming God's word. He's being stoned for it. And so Matt Skinner says, look how in Acts God finds unexpected ways for the word to be proclaimed. According to the account of Stephen's death, he never stops bearing witness to Jesus. He does so up to his dying breath, and Jesus brings him comfort, even as his life comes to a terrifying end. But if we dwell too intently on images of a smiley Stephen, all pious and cherub-like, we risk passing over the ugliness of a crowd crushing a man's skull, one hurled rock at a time. If we make this passage only about Stephen, we might neglect to notice the stones littering the ground around us, which either implicate us or cause us to cry out for deliverance from cycles of violence. Remember, he says, the people who kill Stephen are neither the local hooligans nor the Roman soldiers who nailed Jesus to a cross. They are, ostensibly at least, upstanding members of religious communities, regular members of synagogues, elders, religious professionals, priests. They are guardians of vital traditions. They are important people who possess a lot of leverage in religious discourse, political discourse too. But why, he asks, do these people go to such an extreme? Are they just terrible people? True, Stephen issues some pointed accusations, and he challenges the theological basis for the certainty of the Jerusalem temple. But wherever did they get the idea that stoning was a justified response to anything? Oh yeah, he says. This is hardly the only stoning that the scripture describes, and like the others, it issues a stark reminder of the potential for violence in religiously influenced conflict. It's the kind of violence that the Bible does not allow us to disown entirely. We cannot make this or other texts say, Old Testament, temples, law, violence, bad. New Testament, Jesus, grace, gentleness, good. Which is a really good point, right? I think sometimes it's easy for us to say, oh, all the bad stuff happens in the Old Testament. God's angry, people are punished, violence happens, etc. And then Jesus comes and everything is fine. Everything is love and roses and beauty and grace. And Jesus does come to give us a new way of being in the world, a new way of being in relationship with God, but the New Testament has some hard things in it as well. It's not quite to the extent of the Old Testament in some ways, but it still has some hard things to try to read through and figure out and discern and pray about and go through and figure out how you fit those things into your faith. How do the hard things in the Bible fit into your understanding of your relationship with God? This is, I think, where we can really dig into the meat and potatoes of the Bible. And this is an odd place to take a break, but hey, meat and potatoes, let's go get a snack. It's time for the second break of our podcast. When we come back, I'll be talking more about this text from the book of Acts. So stay tuned and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are talking about the text from Acts chapter 7, verses 55 through 60, which tell of the death of Stephen. And I left you at kind of an odd point at the beginning, before this second break. I said the phrase meat and potatoes of the Bible, which, I don't know, it's a weird phrase, but that's what popped out of my mouth. So what I was talking about was, how do we take the texts of the Bible that make us uncomfortable, especially texts in the New Testament where we want everything to be about Jesus' love, where we want there to be grace and we want there to be kindness and, you know, all of the good things that Jesus talks about. And then we have texts like this where Stephen is doing what he has been called to do. He is preaching the word of God. He is calling out the things that he sees that are not according to the word of God, and he is brutally murdered for it. I mean, this is not an easy death. He maintains his faith to the end, and, you know, that's usually what we take out of texts like this, what we take out of verses like this. We search for the positive, and we say, well, but look, he maintained his faith. He relied on God. He relied on the words he had been given. He looked to Jesus' own dying and took that as his example. And that's fine. That can get us through, you know, that can get us through some of our own tough times. We know that God is always with us. We know that even if our own faith can stumble, that God is still there. The promises of God are still there. But how do we take these texts that make us uncomfortable, that remind us of uncomfortable truths, of hard truths, that there is violence in the world, that sometimes we, you know, when we're not always the Stevens of the world, sometimes we are the other people in the story. You know, Jesus said, he who is without sin cast the first stone, and went during his lifetime when they were going to stone a woman accused of adultery. But how often are we the ones who are hurling those stones, whether they're, you know, not actual stones, but we hurl other kinds of stones all the time. Stones of judgment, stones of unkindness, stones of just, you know, of entitlement, where we ignore someone else's pain because it doesn't affect us. All of those things that are difficult in the world. So how do we take our faith and apply it to those things? First, I want to cover how do you take verses that are difficult for you? Do you, you know, because I mentioned a couple of times that when I read this, because it's so stark, because it's only six verses, because it's only five sentences, it's very easy to say, to just sort of skim over Stephen's death. And it, It's not a very long story. It's not detailed, thank goodness, but we can just skim over it. He was stoned, but look at how faithful he was in his dying. I tend to kind of ignore the more negative parts, or I don't let myself imagine them in detail. But, and you don't have to necessarily, but it begs the question of how do you deal with texts that make you uncomfortable? How do you deal with texts that make you angry? How do you deal with texts that just don't fit in with how you think God should work or how the world should work? And do you ignore them? Do you just kind of skim over them? Sometimes we do. Sometimes we're in a place in our life where we just think, you know what, I don't want to deal with this right now. And I know that I've done that myself. I'll think about that later. But for me, and I'm not always good at this, but for me, when things make me uncomfortable, it means I need to look at why. Is it just because this is a scene of violent death? Or is it because I feel convicted in a way that, you know, where am I in this story? Am I in the crowd throwing those stones, whether those are real stones or verbal stones? Am I someone who is, complicit in that violence in some way? And it doesn't have to be violence. I mean, there's all kinds of situations in the world where things happen and we aren't always on the right side of those things, the side where God might like us to be. Do I see myself as Stephen in this story? And I don't know that I am as faithful as Stephen when it comes to this situation. I don't know if I could be as forgiving or as focused on my faith as Stephen is here. So when you're uncomfortable with things in the Bible or, you know, things that you hear in the course of your faith life, take the time to ponder why that is. Do some more reading. Do some more studying. Talk to other people about what they think that is going on. Talk to your pastor if you have a pastor. Talk to your Bible study group if you're part of a Bible study group. Talk to your friends. Just see what they think about certain passages. Do some reading. Read some commentaries. Read some books. You know, just dig a little deeper into the places that make you feel uncomfortable, because I'm usually referring to myself. I like my standards of the Bible that help me through my hard times. I like the comforting verses of the Bible, the ones that I can look at and say, oh, yes, these are like fuzzy slippers. I can put them on. I can feel God's love surrounding me. It's like a fuzzy blanket. And, you know, if you want to go with the fuzzy theme, I can feel God's love. I can sense what God wants me to do. But it's the uncomfortable places that make us grow in our faith, because we don't grow if we don't question, and we don't grow if we don't, you know, continue to study. It's not always easy. It's not always comfortable. I would often rather just, you know, kind of ignore those things rather than push myself out of that comfort zone, because, you know, who wants to take off the fuzzy slippers and unwrap themselves from that fuzzy blanket and go do things that are hard and go do things that are uncomfortable and go do things that make us feel, yeah. But those are the things that help us to grow. Those are the things that help us to see our neighbors in different ways. Those are the things that help us to see the injustice in the world around us. We cannot, we cannot do God's work in the world without going out into the world. And the world isn't always a good place. So this podcast kind of went in a slightly different direction than I expected it to, but I don't mind those things because, you know, I feel like those are moments when hopefully God is working through something, working through me, working through my words, or helping me to figure something out, or pointing out those places where I need more work. I share these things with you, and I hope that you get something out of them, but mostly it's just me, you know, fumbling my way through my relationship with God and sharing that with you. As I've said, I hope it's helpful. I hope you get something out of this, not because I say anything brilliant or insightful, but because, you know, it gives you maybe a slightly different perspective, or it just gives you a different voice to hear words that maybe you haven't considered before, and it can give you a different entree into your own life of faith. So that's where I leave you this week. It was a little bit of a depressing topic, obviously, but again, those depressing topics, those uncomfortable places always show us areas in our faith life that we might want to do a little work on. So that is all of the time that we have for today. I want to thank you, as always, for joining me. I invite you to join me again tomorrow as we move on to the psalm assigned for this week. And that is Psalm 66. So we'll be discussing that tomorrow. I hope you'll join me. As always, you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, on any app that you use for your mobile devices. You can find us on social media. Come have a chat with me. I'd love to hear from you. Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, GSMC Bible Study. I would love to interact with you on social media if you so choose. In the meantime, again, thank you for joining me. Join me again tomorrow as we discuss Psalm 66. But in the meantime, please remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.